Welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two, Penguin Playbook, presented by Southwoods Health. At Southwoods, it's not just about the treatment, but how you're treated. Southwoods, proud to be locally owned and operated by the Moransky family and area physicians. Good to be here tonight. Good to see our loyal Penguin fans back here at Quaker Steak and Lube in Boardman. Youngstown State opening the season with a victory over Mercyhurst, 24-15. Got in the win column last Thursday night. Second half of the program, we'll talk with a couple Penguin players. Ethan Wright and Dathan Hickey will join us. A couple guys that we're looking forward to talking to. We had Ethan on the show last year. First time we're going to have an opportunity to talk to Dathan, Coach. So that'll be exciting.
FCS Defensive Player
of the Week. Yeah, let's talk about that. The FCS National Defensive Player of the Week came out today. 10 unassisted tackles, 3 assisted, 13 tackles, interception in the game. Came here from Yale, injured last year. Let's talk about it. I mean, since you brought it up and he's going to be on the show later, his presence in that secondary at the safety position.
Yeah, he's had that leadership presence, you know, even through the injury last year. And, you know, he hasn't played a game in 700 and some days. He probably knows exactly. So to get back on the field, see what he can do, it you know, puts a smile to your face, see someone that put in that much time and effort. Kids have a lot of respect for a captain of our football team and to go out there and perform. And he'll be the first to say he has a lot of areas he can even get better. And we're going to see that, you know, in the next coming weeks. So great game. Great to see him out there. And, you know, we wish we would have had him last year, but we got him this year.
He's around the football all night. What about a guy like Dathan who's in the program, first year as a starter, although he's been in the program a couple years? What did he show you that he deserved to be named one of your captains?
Well, I think when he got here over a year and a half ago, January, and we started spring ball, and that's when he re-injured his leg. Even going into that summer, he wasn't going to play that fall, and he got captain votes, you know, that quickly in the program. They're only 6 months. So I think the kids just gravitate to him. I think he helps the younger players. I think he's great in the locker room, great on the field, helps everybody. And, you know, just, you know, the leadership that he brings, an older guy, has been through it, the highs and lows. Two of those guys, you know, when they spoke to our kids in camp this summer, talked about just adversity and how you overcome adversity, because both those guys have had to deal with injury, and that's part of the game. It's a violent game, and dealing with the highs and lows of going through rehab and all those things to get back on the field.
We're talking with Doug Phillips, head coach of the Penguins. Let's get into the game just a bit. One thing that everybody's been talking about, Bo Brungardt carries the ball 28 times. Some of that, you know, when he's going back to throw, he might improvise, he might run, he may have options. Was that a plan going in, that he was going to be the focal point of the offense running the football?
Well, you have design runs, and then you have reads.
Right.
You know, you can call them, you know, run pass option, you know, triple option. You know, that, shoot, if they're taking the back away, he's going to keep it. So there's read plays that, you know, he also determines whether he hands it or he keeps it. So, you know, he ended up having a lot of carries. And, you know, for us getting in game one, you know, the ultimate thing is we want to win a football game. And, you know, those first three series of the games, you know, we're able to score and get up on them 21-0. Defense was playing well. You know, the positives that you always look, you're never as good as you think when you get off the field and watch film, never as bad as you think. But I know one thing, we had 4 turnovers. And we had 0 turnovers from the offense. You know, the thing we got to improve upon, we got 0 points from those 4 turnovers. So, you know, to be able to score 21, not scoring off those turnovers, I mean, that's the difference in the ball game, and those are areas we got to get better moving on.
A couple things to wrap up on Bo, 145 yards rushing. These teams scout, and obviously they know he can run, but it always feels like until you play him and see him in game speed, it's hard to be ready for that kind of speed, isn't it? I mean, it just seems like no matter how good these teams are, Bo's able to run against them.
Well, you got scout team, but even us preparing for Robert Morris, our scout team can't give us the exact same look or the speed that we're going to see Saturday. You do the best you can. A lot of times you go ones-on-ones, you know, so our defense gets to see it every day, you know, but they're not allowed to hit them. You know, so he's in a black jersey. So really that makes up for all the non-hits he took the last 6 months Saturday, you know, getting some hits. You know, we joke with him about that because he's in a black jersey. But, you know, we work in the weight room. You know, the one thing about Bo, and our guys could attest, he's probably one of the strongest guys in the weight room. Lower body, upper body, it don't matter. He puts a lot of weight on, and he's strong.
You got to do whatever it takes to win. I get it. But do you get nervous at all that once you get into conference play, carrying it that many times? I mean, that, because, you know, he's such an important part of our team as far as getting banged up if he can.
Yeah, no. You never can worry about that. It's a violent game as itself. You know, even when we had Jaleel, right. You know, if you're worried about those things, how can you go play? You can't. Do we want him running the ball 28 times? No, there will be games he doesn't. You know, there'll be games, you know, if we're playing in the Fargo Dome and it takes them running 35 times to win that ball game, guess what we're going to do, Bob?
Whatever it takes to win, right?
Whatever it takes to win
a game, right.
You know, but, yeah, do we – you know, you play with one football and we feel we have a lot of guys that can touch the ball and help this offense. So would we like to see running backs getting more involved, other receivers getting more involved? Without question. And I think, you know, being a new offensive staff, getting into playing their first game together, it's probably the easiest thing is, you know, what 12 can do. And, again, a lot of those are reads for him. But we got to get everyone involved, and that's the goal.
We're Doug Phillips, head coach of the Penguins. We get set for Robert Morris on Saturday. We'll kick off at 2 o'clock. Talk with your offensive coordinator, Mike Yurcich, last week. Had a good conversation with him. And I sense that in game one, it was going to be, you're not going to see all that we have. You're going to see some, and we're going to continue to incorporate. Is that the plan? We'll add a little bit each week?
Yeah, we threw a lot at them during camp in game one, said, hey, let's go in there. Mercyhurst was a little different. You didn't know what you're going to get. You didn't know what looks you're going to have. You know, so, you know, game planning, we said, hey, let's go in. We know this works versus this. So, yeah, I think as the season goes, I think you're going to see that offense evolve into who we are. Do I know exactly who we are right now? No, but I think after the next four games, we'll have a better idea of what we can do and the personnel we have and what our offense can do.
Coach, you mentioned earlier about getting four turnovers, also an interception, you know, for the cornerback position. And, you know, it was good to see, you know, Justin Wimpy come up, a junior from Cincinnati. I know when he played at Tiffany, he had five picks, and so he's a ball hawk. Looks like he's a cornerback that's going to be really a guy that's going to be impactful there. Can you talk about his play? I thought he played well.
Yeah, I thought as a whole, there's probably, you know, when you sit down and really evaluate offense, defense, special teams, you know, defensively, I really liked how we tackled. I really liked how we were coming downhill, how we were, you know, shedding blocks. The aggressiveness of our corners and our secondary, they made some plays. They threw the ball, you know, but the goal of the defense, not let them in the end zone. And, you know, the thing that I wasn't happy with was probably the two penalties on that last touchdown drive. You know, the fourth down play where we're off the field and, you know, we got a targeting call, gave them an automatic first down, and then we had a personal foul. And really that's what got them to 15 points. And those are the things that can come back and haunt you if we do that in league play. So we got to learn from those things because I thought defensively we were flying around, we were being disruptive despite them just – dinking passes. And when they did throw a long pass, it wasn't like coverage wasn't there. Number 23 made some great plays for them. In the portal world, you never know who you're going against. You
show
up
in
number 23, that wide receiver, I mean, he was a playmaker and went up and caught the ball. So I give him
I was impressed with what Mercyhurst brought here. Their quarterback, Urena, he got rid of it quickly, so it's hard to sack him.
Yep.
Very accurate. Good test for you in the opener, you feel?
Yeah, we knew. You know, I remember a couple years ago, Youngstown was like, oh, who are you playing, this incarnate word? And I'm like, they got a quarterback. His name's Cam Ward.
Right, right.
You know, nobody knew who Cam Ward was. Well, he's number one draft pick this year in the NFL. Played for incarnate word that day. And guess what? Threw the ball over the field, you know, and we're able to get a win out of it. And, you know, this quarterback, there's a reason why he's up for player of the year in the league. He can throw the ball. He knows how to get rid of it. And they have scholarships, too, you know, and they did it. I thought they did a great job, you know, the coach is from California, so they go to the California coast and get a lot of the junior college guys out of California, and they put together a roster, and that's what you can do in today's world is, you know, the how many guys are hitting junior colleges. You know, you're all finding the niche of what can help you in your program, and I they're going to win some football games this year.
Very hard to predict preseason polls because it's not like it used to be where, you know, okay, you have 14 starters back and or you have four starters back, you're going to be picked low because I think they had 57 new players. I mean, it's you really don't know from year to year anymore, do you?
You don't. You don't. Gosh, someone said that in the Texas was ranked number one. They got a whole new offensive line and an all-new transfer defensive line and still got ranked number one going into that game one. So I think that's at every level, no matter where. So, again, it makes every game you better be ready to play football because – just like North Dakota almost knocked off number 17 Kansas State, you better be ready to play football each and every Saturday.
A couple other guys I want to ask you about. Carson Marshall made several tackles early. He had 10 tackles. I know he had a penalty he didn't like, but Carson Marshall, transfer from Iowa State, second year in the program, looked like he was playing really fast. Different player this year?
Yeah, he had that injury that he missed, you know, the first four or five games last year and really couldn't get into the groove that he wanted to. You know, so for him to have a healthy offseason, we knew he's a football player. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a tackling machine, and, you know, I'm proud of, you know, what he did. But he'll be the first one to say and apologize, Coach, that just wasn't a good play, you know, and I can be better than that. So, again, I'd rather pull reins back than try to light a fire under their butts. So, you know, for me, Karsten, you know, it was great seeing him run around and make a lot of tackles.
New player we see in the secondary, Dane Hodge, transfer from Tulsa. At Tulsa, he played 28 games, started 19, so he had experience at the FBS level. What kind of impact do you see from him as the year goes on?
I mean, his work ethic, the positivity, you know, just being around him lifts up a room, lifts up the locker room. So it just was a great added piece to that back end this year.
Yeah, we've got some new faces in that secondary. They're going to help us. Looked to me like Mike Wells was playing more of a hybrid DN than linebacker. And Mike was recruited here out of Newcastle as a linebacker. Talk about his role, and am I accurate saying it looked like he was more maybe of a DN?
Yeah, the fun thing about coaching is how do you find a way to get your best 11 football players on the field all at one time? And, you know, you're looking at Mike Wells and Karsten Marshall and Preston Zandier, you know, Graydon Rawlins who can play. We got some good freshman linebackers. And it's like, you know what, Mike Wells is 6'3", he's 250 pounds, he's fast, he's strong, he's athletic. And it's like, let's get him on the field. And, you know, he really this camp learned to play, you know, as that stand-up defensive end. You know, in certain personnel, you know, you go against teams that want to play a lot of two tight end, 22, 21 personnel. But, you know, against 11 personnel, play in there, and it just puts another athlete on the field for you, and he's playing fast.
Yeah, I'm a big white Mike Wells fan. Hopefully he'll continue to have a good year. Mercyhurst only rushed it for 63 yards 24 times. A couple new faces on the inside, Thomas Jolly and Colin Vaughn, along with the returning players. How much of those two new faces you think help stuff the runs?
Oh, you got Cam Cunningham, you know, 330 pounds, and Thomas and Colin. I mean, we knew coming out of spring ball, we made it clear we needed to go get some size, and, you know, that's about 900 pounds worth of defensive linemen. You know, Parker Jacobs at defensive end that works in at defensive end, also from Robert Morris that transferred in. So those four guys we knew could make an impact. They've played a lot of football. You know, Thomas Jolly was playing at Grand Valley, had a great year at Grand Valley, but he's from Cleveland Benedictine. You know, Cam Cunningham played at Fayetteville, started, I think, at Saginaw Valley, but he's from Michigan. So, again, we look at those type of things. And Colin Vaughn is one we wanted a year ago, and he chose Utah State over us. And what's funny, we get a call in December and says, I want to be a Penguin, and came in January. So, you know, sometimes you recruit them the first time and you get them the second time.
Yep. Coach, I know you want to clean this up, but do you address it directly with the players, 8 penalties for 78 yards? Or you said some of those penalties are aggressive and some of those are just – so talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you always do. You know, discipline is a huge thing for us. And, you know, on special teams, our special teams were flawless except one penalty. And, you know, we put a new guy in there at gunner who we think is going to be a great gunner for us, Flash, you know, one of our fastest players, and didn't see the guy fair catch, first time ever probably running down as a gunner and hits the guy, you know, and you take that personal foul there. The two penalties that really bothered me the most, because we work and work on 2 minute, and we had, you know, we get the ball, it's 21-7, we get the ball, we have great field position, we're driving, we get a first down, we're at midfield. You know, we get, you know, too many guys on the line of scrimmage, 5 yards. Then we get another completion for a first down. We get a holding. You know, so those two penalties on a two-minute drive that take away from you gaining momentum going in at halftime and maybe going up 24-7, maybe going up 28-7, those play such huge roles in a football game. And when you don't take advantage of it, then you're making it for a close game. So penalties, we certainly got to be able to clean up. I told you about those two. You know, the targeting, you know, and I know Preston probably get tired of hearing it because his family's probably harder on him than me, but that targeting, that's the second time in 3 games. Mm-hmm. We had the same call, same situation against Southern Hill in the fourth quarter of a football game, and guess what? It cost us, you know, it can hurt you down the road. You know, we got to learn to go to the midsection. Stay away from the head. Don't lead with the head. Go for the midsection. So, yeah, we're hard on our kids. You know, we're going to demand it. We expect it. And, you know, we spent Saturday making sure we clean that stuff up.
And we'll lose Preston for the first half this week, correct?
Is that? Yes.
Yeah, okay. And a couple injuries. Cole Seacrest in play status moving forward?
Foot, you know, foot still, injury? Yes, foot injury. And, you know, it's one of those as tolerated. And, you know, we need to get Colt back. Colt is your battering ram in your run game, you know. So, you know, for us, that was a big, you know, thing taken off from the offense this past week, but he's progressing, and we hope to get him back very soon.
And Michael Voitis left a bit banged up. What's his status?
You know, same thing. You know, Michael, you know, we're checking it out, lower body injury that, you know, is not seasonal, but just as tolerated as he can play.
I'm talking with head coach Doug Phillips, getting ready for Robert Morris on Saturday. Hope to see you there. We'll kick it off 2 o'clock. Penguins have battled Robert Morris 5 times, lead the series 5-0. Last meeting a couple years ago, Penguins win 48-28. We'll talk about Robert Morris more with the head coach of the Penguins when we come back after this on 1390. Welcome back. Quaker Steak and Lube in Boardman, our home the first half of the season. The second half, we'll be over in Austintown. And glad to see our engineer, Mike Wardo, back with us tonight. Penguin fans on hand. We hope there'll be a lot of Penguin fans at the game Saturday. It's the 21st annual State Farm Kids Day inside the YSU softball complex, starting at 11 a.m. Inflatables, games courtesy of Austintown, Bounce Rentals. Then they'll be entertaining at the stadium. Fans receive Penguin window cling courtesy of State Farm, Bull and Bear Tavern, Sweat House, and 21 WFMJ. So a lot happening before the game. Come on in and see the Penguins take on Robert Morris. Get your tickets. You can go right inside Stambaugh Stadium 9 to 5 or call 330-941-1YSU to reserve your seats for Saturday's game. Hope to see you out there at Stambaugh Stadium. Coach Robert Morris comes to town, a foe we're familiar with. They opened out West Virginia. Final score 45-3. As you've been looking at the film of that game, your thoughts on the Robert Morris team we're going to see on Saturday afternoon?
You know, and sometimes if you watch the first half, you know, I was watching the first half, it's a 10-3 ball game. You know, and then you go back last year. I even went back and saw when they're at Utah State, they're beating Utah State 14-10 at halftime. So a lot of those is, you know, those schools you play, they got a lot more scholarship players than what we have, you know. So they're a very good team. They're coming off a 7-win year. They're going to be very well coached. Coach Clark does a tremendous job. They're fundamentally sound. You know, defensively, it will be a lot different from, you know, what we played against Mercyhurst. These guys, you know, fundamentally, they're going to be gap sound, play with great fundamentals. And, You know, again, you go back to last year and winning seven football games, you know, he's built a good, great program there.
They are picked third of the Northeast Conference behind Central Connecticut State and Duquesne. When you look at the game from this past weekend, West Virginia was able to rack up 625 yards, rush the football for 393. Game seemed to get away, which it can happen on that level. Quarterback Zach Tanner, 7 of 21, 90 yards. Ethan Shine, one of their top running backs, 20 yards. Offense, what kind of style of offense are we looking to see on Saturday?
You know, again, I think their quarterback's a good pocket passer, has mobility, can get out of the pocket, can throw, can escape the pocket. You know, he played one game last year, so we're able to watch the one game that he played last year and played against West Virginia. I like his arm strength. Again, really like their receiver, Kai Holloway. You know, they have a local, you know, Tyler Evans, who, you know, transferred in from West Virginia, so they got speed. They got a big receiver in Thomas Lee, number one, and their running backs are big, big, powerful running backs. And, you know, offensive line, just like us, I think we all go through a similar thing the first four games of the year. They're trying to figure out their personnel up front on their offensive line, like we're trying to figure out our personnel, what do we play best with. And the only way you learn that is by playing football games and by sitting down and evaluating after a football game. So, you know, you're going to see a Robert Morris that's going to come out ready to play. You know, they've just played in a hostile environment. Doesn't get any more hostile than playing down in West Virginia where they're throwing things at your buses and calling you every name in the book. You know, it was a packed house at West Virginia. So, you know, these guys have played on the big stage, and they've won a lot of football games. Coach Clark, besides being a great player himself, is a great coach and surrounds himself with great coaches.
He's in his eighth year as head coach over Robert Morris. They've had some consistency.
Yeah.
I'd imagine a lot of the same coaches. Duquesne and Robert Morris, they've battled it out at the top of that league for a number of years, haven't they?
They had, and, you know, that's probably the one game they wish they could have had back last year because that determined a lot, you know, who gets in the playoffs, who doesn't. But they figured it out. They do a great job recruiting. There's guys they pick up in the portal, great football players. You know, we played them 2 years ago, and I just Johnny French coach is there, and I'm like, man, you got some great receivers, you know, that they find, they pick up, and I think they do a great job recruiting.
2 years ago when we played them, it was a high-scoring game, 48-28. They put up some points, and we were able to score on them as well, but they had some weapons.
No, I just reviewed that before we came over and was, like, watching. You know, it's like, you know, they got some playmakers, and, you know, we got some things rolling there right before half that kind of got the momentum going for us, and then they fought their way back.
Coach, as we look ahead a little bit to Saturday, from week one to week two, where do you want to see your team get better?
Well, that's where you got to make your greatest improvement. You know, I want to see a better practice. You know, we had our Tuesday, you know, hard, tough day. We call it Grit Tuesday. We had that today, and tomorrow we got situational competitive Wednesday, and I want to see us better than we were a week ago Wednesday. You know, we got off the field. Were we better than we were last week? Were our scout teams better? You know, when you talk about complementary football, there's more involved than just offense, defense, special teams. It's how that scout offense, how that scout defense helps you prepare for the game that you're going to play. And when you talk about complementary football, you know, you see it, and you have high expectations of what your young men can do. And I'll take, you know, I can turn on the film at 7-7, and our defense takes the field Saturday. We get a 3-and-out, and then we force them to punt. Punt goes over their head, but there's a delay of game. They punt. Max Tomczak gets the punt, takes it 10 yards. It's 2nd-and-1. We throw a bomb to Max Tomczak, an explosive. We need more explosives. That's number one thing. That's a goal of ours. We didn't have enough explosives, but that turned into a touchdown. That's what you want to see. And when you see it, you want it every time. You want that to be the whole game. Right. You want that perfection, although you're not ever going to get it. You know, you can't be perfect. But knowing that you can do that, I want to see more of that, more of that. When our defense gets an interception or a fumble recovery or a sack strip, we got to go down and score touchdowns. So I want to see that. I want to see more explosives. And I do believe we got a lot of great players. And, you know, you play with one football, And we got to find ways of getting, distributing that football and putting it in hands of guys we think can make those big plays.
Doug Phillips, our guest, wrapping up with the coach. And coming up in just a couple minutes, Ethan Wright and Dathan Hickey, two of the key components of this Penguin football team. If we're going to get to where we want to get to this year, going to have big seasons. Coach, I know you don't get a chance to see much other college football. I'm sure you glance at FCS. North Dakota State rolled over the Citadel. South Dakota State, very impressive win over Sacramento State. The game that sort of stood out to me, North Dakota was picked in the second half of our league. They had Kansas State on the ropes.
Should have beat them.
Should have beat them.
I watched. That was late at night.
Yeah, okay.
When was that, Sunday night?
Saturday night.
Saturday night?
Yeah, 38-35, K-State comes from behind. And we didn't know what to expect out of North Dakota this year. They have a new coach, and they were – I mean, your thoughts as you watch that game about North – I mean,
they always find a quarterback that can throw. He was good, you know, and they found player. And they always play with great effort. They always play hard. And, you know, I don't know how they caught Kansas State because, you know, maybe coming back from Ireland and playing
tough
the
loss.
Iowa State. But, you know, if you show up against North Dakota and you don't match their effort – you're in trouble. I don't care who you are. You could be Kansas State, ranked 17th in the country. And if you don't come with the same effort, North Dakota's going to beat you. And that's the trademark of their program. And they have a new coach. But guess what? All those coaches, they were there. You know, so that's built over time. And they got the same players, but they found a great quarterback. And, you know, defensively, they just attack you.
Not surprised Iowa State beat South Dakota. A good friend of ours and former head coach here, John Haycock, the defensive coordinator at Iowa State. Maybe a little surprised. It was 7-7 early, and I don't know if you get a chance to look at that game at all.
I didn't. That was more during the day, probably game planning. But, you know, I saw the score, and I thought it would be a lot closer because I know South Dakota, you know, I know they got the quarterback coming back. We don't play them this year.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so
that's true. We miss them on the schedule, so you won't get as much a look at them. Interesting, this week on a side note, John Haycock, who we talk about, and I know you stay in touch, they play Iowa this week. Iowa's quarterback is Mark Gronowski, who played for, I think, 20 years at South Dakota State, or at least
felt like it,
right? So that'll be interesting. Coach, as we wrap up, I was doing a little bit of work today, and we have 43 players from the Missouri Valley Conference that will be on active NFL rosters this week. I know we got some Penguins that'll be active this week as well. I mean, it's hard. I mean, that's an unbelievable stat, isn't it? 43 guys, and a lot of them start in the NFL.
They do, and you know, that's a recruiting piece for us. We're proud of that. You know, Bryce was in for this weekend, came in, had a weekend off with the Tennessee Titans, so he is around our kids. And you know, our kids will tell you, we had two NFL scouts at practice this morning. We got another three coming in tomorrow. So, you know, they make their stop here. They know that, you know, our kids, you know, we got some good players. And, you know, they know the next crop, you know, the Max Tomczak, Dez Lee, Dathan Hickeys, Ethan Wrights. You know, those guys, guess what? You can do it from this level. They'll find you. You know, and I'm proud of our league and how many guys are out there from our league.
So we know Bryce is active with Tennessee.
Jaleel.
Andrew Ogletree
with the Colts.
A lot of guys. Every time you turn on an NFL game, you see somebody, it seems like, from the Missouri Valley Conference. We had a chance, Anthony, on the sideline, had a chance to talk to Bryce last week. And you could see how excited he was to be back. And he made a comment, paraphrasing a bit, about Bo Brungard. You could see it, he said, from his work ethic. He said, I knew from day one he was going to be a player just because the time he put into the program. Nice to see those guys come back. Like, Bryce didn't have to come back to see us play Mercyhurst. He could be staying in Nashville, right? And what's it mean, do you think, to you as the head coach to have a guy like that come back and be part of the program and continue to be part of it?
Yeah, that they want to be around. They get 3 days off, and you're coming to Youngstown, staying in a hotel and spending time. I'm sure he went to the fair and spent time around our guys. And he almost didn't get in the game, though. I forgot to leave a pass for him. Usually you can walk. So security, Ron Strollo, should be real happy. He's like, they're announcing my name right now. And, you know, they wouldn't let him in until, you know, he got cleared. And I'm like, darn, I forgot I, you know, should have left his name on a list. So.
Hey, they did a good job. Speaking of that, as we wrap up, I know Sarah and Lincoln not here tonight. Sarah's first day of school. Did you get out to the fair?
You know, it took Lincoln for a couple hours, you know, this weekend. That was, you know, quite enough, you know, but to see him and that enjoyment, you know, you got to have that quality time when you're around and really be vested into them. You know, it's hard because on your mind's football, but for those 2 hours, we got to eat a lot of food. Mm-hmm. You know, and he eats what we eat. So if we ate Chinese, guess what Lincoln's eating?
He's eating Chinese.
And got a chance for him to go on some rides and, you know, relax a little bit for those 2 hours. And then it's time to get back to work because every week you start 0-0, and this week we're working to be 1-0.
All right, Coach, appreciate your time. When we come back, we'll talk with Ethan Wright and Dathan Hickey, two Penguin football players. I think they got their bellies full over there before we get to talk with them. Thanks for your time, Coach.
Go Gwins.
Back with more after this on 1390.